Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
Star Trek Podcast.
I have been considering what you shared earlier. I have long told myself that balancing duty and personal relationships was not possible. I believe now that I was being dishonest with myself. It is possible, if difficult. However, it is worth the effort for the right individual.
When I feared we may not survive, my greatest regret was that I had not spent more time with you, Madam President.
Please, you must call me Tarina.
Tarina.
Okay, let's get started straight away, straight into it.
Right into the Star Trek.
With the non-lollygagging...
Lollygagging?
We're trying to avoid lollygagging.
Is that like Gallagher Part 3?
Are you messing with my microphone?
No, it's
messing with my microphone.
All right.
So, if yours gets caught in the mix, it's not my fault.
Collateral damage.
Yeah.
All right, so to the audience out there, welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast. It is episode 122. Am I right?
Or am I right?
I think so.
All right. Episode 122 of the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Bing.
That sounds right.
In which we shall be discussing the season 4 finale, Star Trek Discovery season 4 finale, yeah. Coming Home. Hmm. That's what we will be discussing this week. However, also this week, we are discussing the Picard Season 2, Episode 3. But that's in the next episode in the
feed.
That's
Episode 123.
So if you want to listen to that, too, or instead, it's good to go to the next episode in
but
the
feed.
But
if you've listened to that already, you don't need to listen to this one.
No, you can. You can listen to it because it's a separate show. It's a discussion about a completely separate, I mean, a thousand years
but
different.
But you'll be all caught.
That one's going to be better.
You'll be all caught up. Better. We have the synopsis in the of this one and the next one.
No, we do not. We do not have a synopsis of this one and the next one.
Why not?
Because they're unrelated podcasts.
Do we have a synopsis of the next one and this one?
See, this is not lollygagging. This is dilly-dallying.
Dilly-dallying.
That's totally dilly-dallying.
There's a nuanced difference between the two.
Shameless.
All right. Yes, season finale time. We've been doing two podcast episodes a week for the last... This will be the third week in a row.
And it's the last one, thank goodness.
It's been stressful. Your boys are tired.
It's because it's like comes out Thursday and then have to get it all done the
next
day.
Dogs are barking.
You got to watch so much Star Trek. You got to watch it multiple times. Got to do all sorts of background research.
Discovery is such like an emotional like rocket. Like,
it's intense.
It's always so intense. Like I like to watch Discovery, but it'll be nice to have a little bit of a break from Discovery and just be able to focus on one show that's not quite so like.
Yeah. And that's why. That one where they went to the gamble planet,
his name? Chaz Palminteri's? Palminteri's, Palminteri's karma barge? That was it, right? That was his name, right?
Chaz Palminteri.
Haz Mazzara.
I thought, I was even like, it's not Chaz, it's Kaz. Get it right.
His name is Kaz.
Kaz.
But what you're saying is that was a welcome respite because it was a
Pimento.
Bit of fun.
Yeah, it was
Pimento
a bit of fun.
Charlie's.
Bit of fun.
Pimento Charlie?
Charlie Pimento. Charlie Pimento's Kaz. Rockin' Green Dragon.
Wait, was there someone named
Green Dragon Wagon?
Was there someone named Kaz in this episode or the next episode?
You mean the Picard episode. Don't start confusing things here. You're going to confuse me and the audience.
I don't want to do that.
We're discussing Discovery in this episode.
I don't want to confuse people.
All right, so let's get to the business here.
How about that Federation HQ when it's all warping around?
Yeah, I agree. I thought that was cool.
I was like, at first couldn't. I did. It, my brain wasn't really placing what was going on. I was like, what is that? Yeah. I was like, oh, yeah.
I agree. It was confusing
it's
at first.
Yeah. Funny looking like conch shell kind of.
Yeah,
thing.
Right. It is like a conch shell.
Future station.
But it's probably based on the golden ratio.
I mean, it looks like an updated version of like your star base, whatever.
But most star bases, I don't think, are warping about.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But this one was a modular HQ because it like little donut slices to fly out of it in real places.
Yeah, there was a lot of cool stuff that we learned in this episode about the star base. I was a little confused by how they were able to use more complicated sentences this time. I don't know. Maybe we can discuss that more in detail when
Rilik started going off on like her big complicated explanation, I was like, how are you going to express that through numbers and greater than symbols? But then I saw that Saru's
fingers were just gone.
Oh yeah, he was going. I look, it's Star Trek. I buy it. They sorted it out. They always learn stuff super quick. So I'm not too worried.
Is this some people say? Do people go? It's Star Trek.
That's Star Trek.
Is that something people say?
That's something we.
What do you think you're gonna get?
What is that? What
we've said that on occasion.
What is that voice that goes? Ah, it's Star Trek.
Don't even worry about it.
I have a cigar in my mouth. See,
hey there, Charlie. It's a temporal accent.
It'll be worth hundreds of dollars.
It's kind of like carnival, like guy from the 1900s or something.
Well, yeah,
the 1900s. That's a thing.
Otherwise known as Hollywood executive. Hollywood executive. Am I right?
Hollywood. Weird.
Because I know all about Hollywood.
Okay,
they call me Hollywood Glaubitz.
I know. Right?
No, they don't. Well. What did you all think of this episode? This season finale, it's a big, this is what people come for. They're very interested in our opinions about this episode. What were your thoughts? Dan, why don't you go first? You look like you're ready to go. You look like you're raring to go.
I thought it was definitely interesting. I liked I thought the aliens were cool. I thought that was pretty awesome. I thought it was, you know.
They're really, that's like really big aliens?
Yeah.
Or is it just everybody, all the aliens are just one big alien?
I couldn't figure that out at first, but I think it was, because they kept talking about how there are thousands of life forms.
I think there's supposed to be a bunch of them.
There were a bunch of them. Okay. And there's one shot near the end where you see like a bunch of them kind of like, it's hard to tell because it's all dark and they kind of look like they're mission together. That's why, but I paused it there and I decided in my brain that that's what it's like. I did enjoy the episode. It's always tricky with season finales because it's like, what do I really expect them to do? They didn't take any risks is the thing at all. Really.
I like the episode quite a bit. However, again, as we've discussed over the past few episodes, you really have to be willing to buy into or forgive the confusing setup for Tarka and Book's whole motivation and the getting Reno over there. It's great. I like seeing Reno over there helping resolve problems. But that whole side of the plot, I still don't entirely buy into. And last week we were saying how, or at least I was saying, that it felt to me like they were just adding on this tacked on drama when I was interested enough and gripped enough by the whole solving the problem of communicating. Yeah. And this felt tacked on. It was a little bit better because of the fact that the whole thing with the aliens not understanding the concept of individuality. Mm-hmm. And so them splitting off, being able to demonstrate we are separate people who have different opinions on how to handle this situation. That was interesting. I like that. And okay, you need to have them doing different things to do that. I still don't know if it was entirely worth it to have that whole storyline that was, to me, a little bit confusing. I didn't buy into all the motivations of it. It didn't take too much away from this episode for me because I did think otherwise the sci-fi plot was really cool. I thought everything that they, all those aspects of it worked really well for me.
Yeah, and so I agree with you that part of the plot, the main part, was pretty interesting. Yeah, the side plot, I mean, I was right. No, I didn't. It wasn't like a daring prediction I made. But basically, I was saying that this season was going to end with Tarka, you know, having to be talked down, and then he starts crying, and then he dies. That's pretty much what happened. Except I thought that Oros was going to talk him down.
I also thought Oros was, we were going to get some resolution.
Yeah, and but then Book was there, and then Tarka sort of, the closest we get, Tarka's like, you know, if Oros was there, he'd be doing that same thing, you know, and so I guess that was kind of what had to happen. He had to die. I mean, other than going...
No, not necessarily, because they have the whole thing where he has the, pulls out the transporter thing and all of a sudden says, hey, maybe the hyperfield energy will be enough to activate it.
Right. Well, I guess,
they're setting up that he could come back.
Right. Okay. So, right. Something had to... Okay. Then I guess what would be more accurate to say is Tarka, for the sake of the story, would have had to leave... Whether he dies or goes to a different dimension, he's got to be gone basically by the end of it. And that'd be cool, actually, if they brought him back in the future. I would be into that, because there is that whole Oros, like, loose end that never, they sort of presented us with Oros
in the year 4000.
In the year 4000,
which is something is easier to do if you're doing more episodic TV,
right?
One hesitates to wonder if they would have a whole season that would somehow involve Tarka, or if he'd just pop in or something. I don't know.
Yeah,
totally different show. Maybe.
No, I'm willing to bet that they don't bring Tarka or Oros back unless they probably have no plans to. I bet. I'm imagining they don't have that in the books.
I find it all very confusing. The Tarka sort of changing his mind at the end, being convinced that maybe he was wrong, but then not being able to change the thing.
And at the last minute he was talking about, and oh, by the way, there's fractal reverse encryption, so you can't do it anyways. It's like, God damn it. I thought I had you. It's like, I just got past your emotional defenses, and now those are broken down. Now we're going to shut this shit down, but no, you have reverse fractal encryption or whatever.
It was just it was a little off. It was all carried by the quality of acting. All the actors involved did such a fantastic job that you believe them. It's not quite enough to be like, this doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I like that actor who plays Tarka. I think he's
Sean Doyle. He's great.
Yeah, he's pretty convincing.
It was probably a little bit tricky to thread the needle between sinister and manipulative and sympathetic.
Yeah. What else was that guy in? I know we've talked about
The Expanse.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Oh, that's right. I'm remembering that now. Yeah. Right.
Okay. What does he do in The Expanse?
He plays one of the deputy.
He's some bureaucratic, pencil pushers.
Avasala's boss, basically. Hangs out with the prime
kind
minister.
Of Earth dude.
So
he's an Earth dude for real.
I was hoping that there was something would come of the whole Oros situation, because I've kind of wanted to see more of Oros. But maybe they told what they needed to tell. But at the same time, I still maybe that's it. Maybe it's just like I'm not supposed to care. But you know, I don't know. Am I just supposed to let go of that whole thing? It's weird when there's threads, when there's loose ends in a story or a movie, because I don't know am I harping on the wrong loose end? Is this loose end not matter? Should I just not worry about it? But part of me still can't help but be like, well, what happens there, you know? So there is something satisfying when you're reading a story or watching it or doing however you watch your stories, you ingest your stories. There is something satisfying when they address all the sort of loose ends. I guess there's different purposes for different stuff. And the sci-fi, all the sci-fi stuff is really creative.
Wonderful.
It's like pretty, it's actually really impressive. They had whoever team that got behind and designed all this shit, they didn't just draw pretty pictures.
No.
They came up with whole systems.
They thought shit out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree.
And that was like, that was really awesome. I was super into seeing the alien at the end. I thought that was cool. I like the idea of those aliens. I could have even stood more of them, but you know, I understand, you know, they couldn't make the whole thing about that, but maybe they could have. Maybe they could have taken a little bit away. Maybe they could have made more of a conflict. Something, I don't know what that take the form of, but focus more time on the alien stuff. That was really the fascinating stuff.
I mean, the first thing I'll say is, I even though of course this is a Star Trek podcast where we're supposed to take things apart and analyze and think about things and talk about how cool things were, how lame things were, whatever. So that's sort of the point of all this.
You put them all together and take them all apart.
But that all being said, I'm not I'm not one to second guess the hard work of all the writers and producers and everyone involved in the process of putting these shows together. It's really hard. It's really complicated. However, the fact remains is, yeah, you know, you grow along and sometimes something doesn't work out for one reason or another. In retrospect, I think there's some of this stuff that they could have done a little bit differently to make for a more tidy, satisfying interconnection with the overall plot line. Focusing more on the communication aspect, which was done so well when it came to interacting with the 10C and everything leading up to it, because there was an aspect of communication even before they made contact, in the sense that they're trying to suss out what's going on, you know, sort of the building blocks of communication. And they were kind of trying to do that on the book Tarka side. But again, I think it just felt like some of the characters were forced into situations that I didn't like with book in particular. I'm thinking about that. I didn't entirely buy that he would be in there. And so it doesn't detract too much from the overall conclusion. Like, if you're willing, I just take it as, okay, it's a Star Trek thing. I have to accept that that's what's going on here. Taken alone, I thought it all worked out very well in this episode in particular.
So, talking again about the second story, and, you know, I guess going off of what you were kind of saying about how you weren't buying it so much, what really did they need to have that story for? And I'm thinking, because what did that story really fuel? What sort of side plots did that push along? Did that push along anything, or did it simply act as a reason to give them time? And I was thinking about it. The only thing I can think of off the top of my head right now is it got Ndoye to, like, crash the ship into him.
No Doye.
Yeah, no Doye. I don't think that's how you pronounce it.
I'm just being funny, man.
Just being a silly. Okay, so that whole part, there's several parts in this episode where they sort of, like, you thought there were going to be repercussions, but then they're like, ended up not being repercussions. And that scene sort of began with... when Burnham was looking at Detmer, is like, you're
suicide,
good pilot.
Suicide run.
And then, of course, brings it back to, after this is all said and done, it's like, I know you, everyone was just doing their job, but you ordered me to my fucking death. Yeah. You know? But so they played that, and it was like all the reaction shots. It's like, oh no, Detmer, oh, this is the moment. And then the writers are just like, oh, just kidding. Not really. It's actually Ndoye. Yeah, and it's like, okay, well, it's not as dire as Detmer, simply because we know.
And then she doesn't even die.
Because we know Detmer as a character more. We've had more time to get to know Detmer. Mm-hmm. So by virtue of that fact, we're more probably, I don't know, can't speak for other people, but, you know, we just spent more time with her. And Ndoye, when did she get introduced? This season?
No, I think the last season.
Last season?
Yeah,
okay,
last
well,
season.
So I guess she's kind of...
We didn't see much of her last season.
She's not on the main ship. We don't see her all the time.
Yeah,
so
she was the Earth... She was the person they were dealing with.
When they went to Earth in that one episode.
Right, yeah. So we don't see her that much. So I was thinking, like, maybe they'll just, you know, kill her, and that'll be a nice consolation. But Jesse, like you just said, they didn't even... Kill Ndoye. She made it. Not that I wanted her dead, but with the way they approached it, it seems like they should have prepared to make some kind of sacrifice.
Yeah,
and so
somebody had to die.
And so if that whole ship stuff with Tarka and Book and all that stuff, if it resulted in Ndoye dying or something like that, then I guess you could see more of a more functional purpose of that plot. It still wouldn't, the motivations, you still wouldn't buy the motivations, right? But you would at least know, okay, well, they wanted this to happen, that to happen, this to happen. I'm not sure what they were trying to make happen. On top of not being, Book's motivation not being completely believable, what were they trying to accomplish? And I'm there may be something I'm just grossly overlooking that I can't think of off the top of my head.
Okay.
But I don't know what it really... how it pushed the plot forward, except to say, like, we've got a time limit, we got to move. Oh no, it's the battle between will they be on our side or will they be against us?
Technically, it held the plot back, because the function was to create repeated barriers to Burnham et al.'s mission to try, whatever their mission was at any given point during the season, right? Because all throughout the season, well, not all throughout, but throughout the bulk of the season. Throughout the bulk of the, throughout the bulk of the season, Book's actions were actually attempting to create barriers for Burnham.
Barriers.
Were they creating hollow disruptor barriers?
Well, it's just everything he was doing with Tarka, and even before that, remember, he was arguing against the plans that Burnham was in support of trying to find a way to communicate with this species, as opposed to blowing up the DMA, right? Going way back a number of episodes, right? They've been antagonists. Now, Okay, I've heard some people say, "Oh, Discovery's just got a bunch of manufactured drama." All television programs are by definition manufactured drama. So that's I understand the critique. I think it's a silly critique. You can refine the critique to say, yeah, all the drama is manufactured. However, it can be done in a better or more convincing way or a worse way. There's a lot of different ways you can do that. And to me, I think I agree with the general vibe that a lot of folks out there, not everyone by any means, that whole plot line that did feel a little bit extra.
It felt extra. It's trying to make it seem more, because the purpose was, can we communicate with these aliens? Can we prevent them, Earth and stuff, from blowing up? Yeah. And the Earth and blowing up stuff was kind of sort of like just thrown out there near the very end. But and so all it was doing is basically saying, well, if we face the aliens on our own, if that's the only plot, there's a risk they might say no. But if we have an outside force like Book and Tarka, obviously, like, well, that will give them a reason. That will make us think maybe it won't work out or something. And then it'll try to teach us some moral lesson, I guess, about, you know. So the Tensi, right, their planet got fucked up. And so in order to try to keep themselves safe, they didn't realize they were hurting other people. Same thing happened to Book, right? His planet got fucked up. So he's trying to protect himself, but he doesn't realize he's hurting other people. And meanwhile, you got Tarka, who is just kind of like lost all sort of perspective, and he's basically of the idea of like, fuck the world, I don't give a shit about any of you, I'm like just going off to the Nexus or whatever.
But has he grown at all, like, from this whole little side thing?
Yes.
Like,
and, I mean I don't know,
it doesn't, you don't know, like, and it's like,
is the message to listen to Michael?
He knows that, like, the people that he cares about in his planet, and they're all gone. And maybe he's more coming to terms with that, but he didn't need this side adventure to do that.
Well, I should also make one revision. Even though I said this plot line feels extra, I have no doubt that from a thematic creative standpoint, what the writers intended, what the producers intended, was to talk about the idea of people who are very close, love each other very much, having divergent views on how to resolve a serious problem, and develop the drama from that. It didn't quite work for me, because I just didn't buy into the idea that Book would be so cavalier, even if I could, up to the point where he disagreed with Burnham, like, and gave speeches against it and stuff, that I bought that. I found it harder to believe that he would hook up with some random dude he just met, who comes off as all weird and creepy anyway. And I felt there wasn't enough, if they wanted to examine ideas of him being manipulated by a Tarka, or his emotional state making him prone to believe in something.
Like life after love? Like, believe in that?
Yeah,
like
believing in
life after love.
After love. Like believing in, hey Jesse, like believing in life after love?
Do you believe in life after a very, very, very short break? Do you believe in life after a very, very short break?
Oh, man, there's only one way to find out.
All right, we'll be right back.
Oh, no.
All right, we're back.
It worked.
We're back.
We are working.
We're still alive.
So I guess I wonder if they sort of decided to have this plot point to sort of battle the main plot point first, or if they first had the idea of what you were saying, Patrick, about just trying to make sort of add to the general commentary or the message that the writers were trying to get across. Like, I wonder which came first, you know, how it's like, did you write the music or the lyrics first? Did you write this plot about them, like, pushing the A plot along that you didn't really need to, but you did anyways? Or did you first decide you wanted to, it would contribute to your message? Or maybe they thought, like, oh, it's some dramatic shit that, like, it's like dealing with two different, like,
no
you
doubt
said,
it was all well-intentioned.
Different people coming at it from different perspectives and being able to do it while working together versus doing it while...
Honestly, I think part of this is, I think it's so close to being wonderful. I think it's just so close, and granted, I'm a Philistine. I have no recommendations to get there, but I think that could be part of my aggravation, my mild aggravation with this plot line throughout the season, just because it kind of, as it went on and on and on, it became less and less plausible. And in the end, again, to say, just to have Tarka be like, oh yeah, I changed my mind.
Yeah.
I don't know. And then it's like, is Tarka, Is he in love with Oros? Or like, what exactly is the deal? We just don't know enough about that.
Right. I wish there was some more
They decided to reveal so much of this stuff late in the game in terms of Tarka and Oros' stuff came later. And Book's whole, like, oh, there's a code of the courier that you never let somebody down once you make an agreement. Like,
and that whole Dread Pirate Roberts thing.
Yeah, that was just cool. But like all that other stuff, introduce it at the beginning of the season and then have that be the topic that he's wrestling with, or you know.
Right. And that's exactly what I was getting at the same point, but making a different way journey to make a tangential point. We're just riffing here.
Yeah, we're just riffing.
We're just
I was thinking an Honor Among Thieves type situation. Like on Deep Space Nine, Honor Among Thieves, Chief O'Brien going undercover in the Orion Syndicate, and sort of the emotional and physical consequences of that episode. That can work, and that's the kind of thing they could have done here. So they didn't quite hit the nail on the head.
And
don't have Sisko.
General Sisko. Yeah,
that's the other podcast. Don't talk about that yet, guys.
Oh no, we broke
blew it.
No. Now the worlds collided, and they exist in the same universe.
Fourth wall.
That what you were saying goes to my point about how the loose ends that aren't being tied, right? And I wonder if. I wonder to myself.
I wonder to myself.
We're not going to start this right now.
I wonder to myself.
Not going to start it right now.
I think we did. We can stop it though. Okay.
Zip.
All right.
This is how it leads to like just
Dan
this...
point. Dan point.
Now this is how it begins. I know this bit. I know this
bit's
routine.
Over. So we're ready to go.
Okay. So we were talking about, what were we fucking talking about?
I'm sorry, that's on me. That's all on me.
I was talking about to the point
it's
of
a little bit on Jesse.
Okay, the point of loose ends, saying, I don't know if it's my obsession over things that don't matter, which is why I care about these loose ends being tied, or if it's a legitimate complaint from my part where I'm saying, you introduce this Oro stuff, like, I want some clue that we know something that happened, or am I just supposed to, as the viewer, just be like, nope, it doesn't matter, that's not the important part, you're focusing on the non-important bit, but like you said, if you put that something like that near the beginning, that could have made for maybe a more compelling kind of plot, you know? If that was introduced from the start, and then you could tie it up and it would be nice. It's just sometimes I feel like I'm pretty decent at knowing when there's a plot point that doesn't fully get resolved. I'm pretty good at usually picking out, you know, like your average person good, not a specifically wonderful or terrible.
You're not a highfalutin type of option picker.
When people make a point that wasn't really
people
meant,
make a point
when people
Peter
make
Peter Piper pick the pick a pick a pick a peckers when, pick, peckers pick, pick, when people, peppers
when people make a point that doesn't need to be resolved because it already got its point across without tying up a loose end or resolution, you know, I get it then. Mm. But sometimes it's just, I just wonder, it's like, why was that? I get why it was there, but it just seemed like there should have been a little time for more of that or something. I don't know.
And
less time talking about how you're going to break in through the book ship through the duct vent, you know, when they were trying to get into that Jeffrey's tube or that duct vent when they were trying to
you just keep saying duct vent
when they were trying to break into book ship on that episode where they blew up the DMA. And then it came back again, and they were trying to go into the duct vent. And
but they had the programmable matter.
The programmable matter auto defense system.
Slurped them up.
No. That was a hypersphere. You're talking about the hypersphere.
No. I'm talking about the programmable matter that like slurped on them. You know, like it all like went around their shuttlecraft.
Oh yeah, but it didn't do an abyss slurp like it did like a cubular slurp.
Yeah.
Cubular slurp.
And so like those, like they maybe less time could have spent on
some
that
sort of plasmoid
and more on other things. I don't know. I don't want to be one of those people. It's like, oh, there's so much important stuff happening in the news today, and you're focused on this? Nothing else can happen while you're focused on that.
We can focus on more than one thing at once. Yes.
Right now.
Yes. Look, it's easy. The thing is it is easy to harp on about these nitpicks. Because there's a lot to talk about, and especially when otherwise, again, I really liked this whole season. I enjoyed so much of the storyline. We learned so much about many of the characters.
I definitely was never bored, and I definitely enjoyed it. Yeah.
for the most part, never bored. Yeah. There might have been a few lulls here and there, but minor lulls. And again,
minor lulls.
No lulls. Lulls. Not lulls. Not LOLs.
I didn't say LOL. I said
laughing out loud.
I said LAWLs. Lulls.
Lulls. LAWLs. Lulls. Light.
Follow the lulls. Mm.
Lull.
Don't break the lull.
The
hey, bad, bad.
The whole distracting me. He's tasking me. He tasks me.
Now the shoe is on the other foot.
Hey, strong side, Batman. Thanks for breaking my cow lamp, you guys.
The 10C, it would have been cool if we had gotten a name for them, but other than that, I was so thoroughly pleased with that whole plot line throughout the whole season and how it ended up. It was a very Star Trek style, not a true villain, a miscommunication, a misunderstanding, a misapprehension on the part of the 10C.
Was it an ill communication like the time the Beastie Boys played that song in the Star Trek?
The song?
I didn't say swung.
You said song.
I said song.
You said when the Beastie Boys played the song.
I said song. Play back the tape.
Beastie Boys.
Beastie Boys. Swung.
So,
Wayne voice.
Yeah, they were talking about the many eyes. The eyes. There's the we eyes and the you eyes. The individual one. Yeah.
All the language stuff was super complex and interesting.
It was when they were doing complex. And when I thought they were still talking in numbers at this point, and she really goes like, tell him each of us is an individual one. We are also one as a whole. Our appearances and experiences are different. Yet we all seek happiness, freedom, security, equality. We want, and I was at that point, I was just like, wait, how are you talking about?
Saru, tell them that Sally sells seashells at the seashore.
You didn't sell the seashells. Sally sells seashells
down by the seashore.
She sells Saru seashells sells by like the seashore.
Kelp Saru sells
by the side of the lake or something.
He is a fish person.
He's not a fish person.
He's a kelp person.
He's got hooves.
Fish don't have
fucking hooves. Come on, man.
The man
Come
has on, hooves. Man.
When the 10C, I kept thinking about there being some kind of Star Trek Civilization type game. You know that game, turn-based strategy game Civilization?
I prefer real-time strategy like Age of Mythology, but I do know what you're referring to.
To which I refer? Whom?
Whom? What?
I was thinking, so it'd be cool if there was some kind of Civilization Star Trek game, and then
it probably is.
And they included every single thing. So part of the Civilization game, the 10C, they could be like a species just outside of the galaxy that's all like cuddly and sweet, you know? But they don't really do much.
Are they cuddly and sweet?
They seem like cuddly and sweet.
I mean, do you want to cuddle one of those things?
Well, it's freaky, but
They had some hairy tendrils. Or dendrites, or whatever.
You know, those things are probably so huge they were probably hard as a building.
Yeah.
You think they're crusty like a crustacean? Like
I didn't say they were crusty.
With a building.
You think they've got some chitin shells?
In the 10C, you could if you attacked them, they'd get all scared and sad and confused.
Is 10C their shoe size?
No, it's not. So in the Civilization game, you could attack them.
Is it their brassieres?
No, in the Civilization game, you could attack them if you attacked them, because you wouldn't want to attack the 10C because they're cool and they are. All you have to do is give them
like a Dyson ring.
You give them like Boronite and they give you all sorts of shit, right? And they got a Dyson sphere thing and a ring, or I guess it's just a ring now. But then if you attack them, they get
Dyson rings a more reasonable construct.
They get all sad.
Sphere is ridiculous.
I bet like so the 10C is like the tribble equivalent of it's like a celestial tribble equivalent. You know,
what are you talking about? Man, you're talking madness.
Triple quib.
It's a giant crab creature with glowing eyes.
And what I'm saying, because they're so cuddly and sweet and cute.
Why do you think they're cuddly and sweet?
They are the 10C. You don't think the 10C are cuddly?
I think they might be.
They're very sweet.
Intellectually cuddly.
They're very sweet. They're scared.
If you mean it
they
as
got
a
scared.
Metaphor.
Their planet got hurt and they got scared, you guys.
I know. Well, yes.
They started mining the galaxy for bologna.
Yeah, but it's because...
Bologna.
But that was because they were so scared. They were probably crying sometimes. They probably cried sometimes.
What's the sound of a 10C crying?
I don't know, man.
I would like you to mimic it.
It was your idea. You mimic it.
It was my idea.
Am I supposed to yes and you? Is that what's going on here?
Yes and. This is a classic improv. you sound like a cold British comedian from the
1930s. I'll take your word for it on that one.
I mean, I'm guessing.
I'm guessing.
I'm using my mental algorithms to deduce to sort of extrapolate what that might sound
See,
like.
See, if the Klingon were warned...
Who's talking about Klingons?
If the Klingons were mounting an attack on you in the Star Trek Civilization game...
Oh, you're back to
game,
this whole game thing.
You could give the Tenzi some Boronite, and they would come over and they'd say...
This game sounds boring. They would send a cocktail of
Of like terrified and sad hydrocarbons to Konos.
See, oh, I am into the emotional warfare.
Emotional warfare. That's the worst one of all.
No, that's a great idea, Dan. I like that idea. I think it's you the can most do a lot of stories guy. With that.
Oh man, you're right.
Just squirt some dust on some people and they feel all freaky weird.
Oh no, that's terrible. That's the whole character, that Batman Scarecrow character.
Well, and if this were an episodic show.
But all Scarecrow could do
is make
you freaked
out. They would have a whole episode of somebody getting addicted to the happiness dust and weaponizing some Ferengi sneaking in and weaponizing the terror dust.
Terror dust. Did you notice that?
Or like weaponizing the dust that makes you feel that specific feeling you get when you're like 8 years old at a Chuck E. Cheese and you're in the ball pit and you feel like you're about to drown.
Yeah.
You intellectually know you should be safe, but you feel like you're drowning in the balls.
It's
hard to breathe.
Wanted to say drowning in balls.
I certainly did not want to say that.
I used to play Tron at Chuck E. Cheese's.
I played that X-Wing game.
Yeah, that was a cool shit game. That game was awesome.
I cowered in the corner whenever the robots came on. For our internet, we have a huge international audience. Go online, look up Chuck E. Cheese's. Chuck E.
Possessive.
Like with the E is the middle initial.
It's a pop. E is initial. It's possessive.
I don't know if there's any still around, but it was, I think, wasn't it created by like one of the guys who started Atari or something? I think he made it so he could have an arcade. Anyway, look this up.
Look it up.
It's a place where you get pizza and you send kids to, and the mascot is a rat.
It's called pizza.
it is rat. Yeah.
Why would you have a rat as your mascot? I'm not anti-rat. I love rats. Rats are fucking fantastic.
Like, wasn't the drummer like a giant gorilla?
I couldn't tell you. I block everything out.
Yeah, they had some kind of gorilla.
And it was really freaky because there are the animatronics. If you watch, there's a Simpsons episode where they go to Itchy and Scratchy Land and there's some animatronic jokes they play in that, like some gags. And that's basically how it looks when you, like, that's...
Animatronic gags.
But talking about, emotional warfare... Because I guess Scarecrow and Batman could just make people feel terror, but if you could mix together all sorts of crazy emotions and just watch people fly with the strawberries.
Keep it up.
Star Trek.
So, Culber, we were talking about how the planet has the peace stuff, and notice that Culber didn't go back down to the planet.
No.
He said it was because he wanted to spend time with his family after. Oh yeah, there was another
Think he didn't want to go down because he was worried he might try to like slurp, but he would just start licking the ground.
Yeah, he'd become addicted to peace again. Yeah. You know, addicted to comfiness. That was another part where there were no repercussions when the Tensi decided to dramatically hold Book in their stasis transporter stasis field. And
it did make for a very fantasy, and I was emotionally, even though I knew exactly what was going to happen, I predicted that was going to happen. I reacted the way intended with little tugs at my ear, my tear ducts.
Yeah,
little tugs at my tear ducts.
You know, well, for
especially
me,
especially when Burnham was all like,
yeah,
that was awesome.
Yeah,
that's like a real reaction. Sometimes you get annoyed in Star Trek when some fucking dead person shows up and everyone's like, my word, that's strange.
Whatever
are you doing there? Most people would react like Burnham. They'd be like, what the fuck? Yeah. It's a fucking ghost.
Yeah.
That was in Lower Decks when that guy came back from the dead.
Oh, yeah. Shax.
Yeah.
So one scene that I found strangely touching, I actually was the Tarka scene when he sort of did the quick change to be good. Something about Oros, and he's talking to Book. He's like, he'd have done what you're doing now. He'd have stopped me. And Book's like, yeah, I know. And then when Tarka goes, why isn't he here to stop me? And like that, for some reason, that made me feel a little like, oh man, that.
Oh, Sean Doyle emotional. Is a great actor.
That was like a pretty, touching moment. But it was a quick flip.
We don't know enough about Oros. We don't know enough about their relationship. We learned about their relationship too late.
I think we were introduced
to him as a shady, evil piece of shit guy, and now we're supposed to sympathize with him. You gotta walk that line a little bit.
I mean,
better.
Yeah, they gave you a taste of that whole situation, but I would have really liked to to learn more about their relationship, I guess. Even though, I mean, they said all they felt they needed to, but it would have been nice to, that was like a nice part, seeing that side of Tarko is nice, and it'd be nice to see a little more of that.
It's going
to
be interesting next season, because the fifth season of Discovery, it was renewed for a fifth season, but for 10 episodes there, because they're bringing it in line with all the other shows.
Picard, are they going to save another galaxy this time?
Well, probably not, but we don't know exactly what's going to happen, but. They're going to 10 episodes, like Picard is 10 episodes, and Lower Decks is 10 episodes, and I believe Strange New Worlds is 10 episodes. 10 episodes is kind of the newer standard for a number of television programs. My understanding was that the previous minimum of at least 13 episodes was related to Paramount's deal with Netflix. Because Netflix, as we all know, if you are a Marvel fan, Netflix has an obsession with fucking having 13 episodes of things for some reason. And
Sopranos always had 13 episodes.
Yeah, for a while, 13. Where HBO was doing the 13, Netflix started doing the 13. They always
wanted
no fucking 13.
There's no 13th floor, man. Some buildings are.
But there's a 13th warrior.
Sometimes that is
no,
true.
No, there's always a 13th floor. They just the elevator. Sometimes they skip the.
I know that. I think everybody who listens to things knows that, like, you can't skip a floor.
Everyone who listens to things.
I don't listen to things.
Wait, we're on the 11th what? Floor. This next floor, it's the same distance as we are from the flow below us, but it's not the 13th. The we skip one below. Somehow. It's not really there.
Yeah.
But there's no button on the Lily Vader, and probably on the Stairly case.
Well,
that's got to be confusing.
The
Stairly
case?
In the fire? What do you do in a fire if you have to go to the fire Stairly case?
Lily Vader.
And if you're on the 13th floor, that's labeled
the
14th
the
floor.
Case.
If you're on the 13th floor, that's labeled the 14th floor.
Have you ever seen that movie, The 13th Floor?
Is there's a 13th?
It has that guy in it.
If there's a 13th floor,
that guy who's friends with the. Craig Bierko?
If there's a 13th floor and it's labeled.
I got that right. He's friends with the.
If there's a 13th floor and it's labeled.
Gilbert Gottfried.
If there's a 13th.
Craig Bierko is friends with Gilbert Gottfried.
If there's a 13th floor and it's labeled the 14th floor and there's a fire and you have to go down the fire stairly case, how does it know what to tell you to go? Like,
I think you have to drive out of the window in a Cadillac.
Yeah, do they call it the 13th floor that Cadillac? You're talking about some vampire LARPing.
Okay. The reason I brought it up is because whatever the fucking reason was, I don't care.
You're talking about 13 episodes of Netflix.
Okay, so Discovery was previously distributed on Netflix, whereas Picard internationally was distributed on Amazon and domestically within the United States or within North America on Paramount Plus. Boom. All right. So Picard was 10. Lower Decks is 10. Also on Paramount Plus. Whatever the reason, doesn't matter. Whatever the reason, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. All that is to say that we will have a slightly different pacing vibe next year for the next season. They will be limited to 10 episodes. And so whether that's good or bad, we'll have to wait and see. Whether that will be a positive and negative, who knows? But we can make some guesses. And I kind of think from what I've seen from other television programs that have been either 10 episodes or 13 episodes, when we think of the Marvel programs, we all can think of even the best of seasons of Daredevil have a few episodes that are just clearly fucking filling time.
Yeah.
Because they have to stretch it out to 13 episodes, and that can be a problem. If you had a full 26 episodes, it would be awesome. They could do all sorts of cool, intricate things. They could learn about Oros and Tarka and Detmer, and we have all these clever little stories. But if we have 10 episodes, it's got to be a much tighter season, but it's going to be a tighter season.
It's going to be tight.
And maybe we don't have...
No.
I didn't feel that there were any quote-unquote filler episodes in this fourth season. I did feel there were some filler plot lines. You know what I'm saying?
Well, then...
You know what I'm saying?
The part where they...
Catch my meaning?
The part where they were getting to the DMA the first time around, where they tried to sneak in through their duct vents, their vent ducts, with the auto combo system.
Duct vents.
The auto combo system with the duct vents.
Yeah,
and the plasmoid fluid.
It wasn't wasting time because there were some cool scenes, but there wasn't a lot. Wasn't a lot that happened in that episode.
It's like, what was accomplished? All right, and what else can be accomplished? We'll find out shortly, right after we take a quick break. All right, good. All right, that was a pretty good break.
So, what? Speaking,
we've returned from it though.
See,
and we're back.
Whatever fun we were having during the break has ceased. We're back.
It's over.
Back in business.
Back to work.
We're professionals.
So, you were talking about how it's going to be a tight season next season, right? We're talking about the possibility of a tight season.
Possibility of a tight season.
That was you guys were talking about.
Okay, well, the subject was brought up. So,
This is like in a trial where like the attorney mentions something or the witness says something, and now the opposing attorney, played by Dan in this case, has now legally allowed to bring up a point.
You always set up these situations that only sometimes I'm doing.
but you admit, sir, sometimes you're doing them.
But sometimes you say I'm in the middle of telling a joke, and you just keep saying I'm waiting for the punchline, and make I'm just like there's no punchline.
That's usually due to the context,
and then I have to make a punchline.
The look on your face, and the way your cheekbones.
Well, I'm still
setting us up with
your flexed little cheekbones, indicating there's a little bit of mischievous going on.
I'm self-satisfied. You're not doing it right now. I'm self-satisfied for sure, but it's for a different reason. Okay. What if? talking about another sort of a faux repercussion, something that happened that could have had more of a lasting effect was when they did the sport. They made the spore drive blow up. And
blow up.
You remember? Do you remember that part where they made
went kablooey?
Blow up.
I saw that shit.
Please.
I said, damn, that was the spore drive.
So it's like Stamets,
the
you know,
door got knocked damn it, off.
Stamets.
So the spore drive, they blew a hole. To blow a hole in the orb, they had to do the spore drive, and they
because they were like,
the
we're never going to get back.
Never going to get back.
It'd take decades to get back.
Right, and so
like a new Star Trek Voyager all over again.
And that's what I'm saying. If they'd set up the season differently, so there wasn't just Tarka. Because if it's just Tarka, they put him in the brig the whole time, and yeah, it's no fun. But if it was a whole bunch of people, they could have done next season like a whole getting back from the DMA or from the tent, the hypersphere or whatever, hyposphere.
Some people predicted that that's what was going to happen. And in fact, as we,
that would have been kind of cool.
Well, we talked about it a few episodes back when Kovich made that whole point, that whole reference about the 3-hour tour, and everyone on the fucking internet went fucking insane.
Yeah.
They went nuts. And I don't mean that in the pejorative. I don't mean to be ableist. I mean it in the colloquial sense of the term. Everyone went fucking nuts.
They went cracking.
And they went nuts. They're like a 3-hour tour. They're going to get trapped out there in the galaxy. And it's all the story is all going to be about them separated from the Federation now.
Yeah.
They're going to have to build radios out of coconuts.
Space coconuts. That would have been great because it would offer, you know, there would have been really real stuff at stakes, and it wouldn't have to involve the entire universe blowing up.
Stakes.
So along with the Detmer risking her life, Ndoye risking her life, Book not really dying, but now this add this to the list of the ship that was gonna blow up, but then it didn't. It's like all these things that they just, I wish they followed through on at least one of those.
Okay, so I will briefly comment on the idea of them getting trapped. I agree that it would have been cool.
I
disagree in the sense that I think thematically it would have been problematic because it'd been like, okay, there's another shift. They've already come to the Federation. It's like, now they've got to do this thing. And it would be too similar to Voyager and to a certain degree, Prodigy. I'm kind of glad they didn't do that.
Well,
on the other hand,
it doesn't have to be exactly like that. Do something with that idea that they're stranded for some reason.
Tilly and Vans almost.
They probably.
It would have been fucked up if they brought Tilly back just to kill her.
That would have been fucked up. And I'm glad they didn't do the fucked up stuff. Like, honestly, I'm not too butthurt that they didn't, you know, that Ndoye didn't sacrifice herself necessarily.
I'm not too butthurt either.
But
I don't think they didn't need to present such a dramatic setup.
Return of the Kingy in the sense that we didn't get exactly like 25 different endings, but it was I was thinking about it on my second watch through when I realized that Book was, you know, the ship was vaporized and Book was declared dead and all that halfway through the episode. There's like a whole shitload of episodes happens after that. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And towards the end, especially, it's all like, okay, and Ndoye is fine and Book is fine and Tarka, we don't know. Everyone else is happy. And, you know, like you said, it's, you know, there wasn't much consequence.
Right.
Overall, it didn't bother me too much. However, there was a lot of that. So I can see how that makes it feel a little bit more artificial in that.
Yeah,
sense.
Oh, the Tarina, when she was interfacing with the 10C telepathically, like they introduced that whole thing. It's like, that's never been done, but you can't link with someone who you don't know anything about. Yeah, she got a bloody nose. All that did was find
she
out.
She's fine.
She found out that they were confused and terrified, which is fine. I'm glad they didn't make it a major like plot. I'm glad they didn't take it and like solve the whole world with a telepathic.
She helped clarify that they didn't have a real comprehension of individuality. If she had mind melded with them one or two episodes ago, would have laid the groundwork a little bit, right? That's again getting back to what I was talking about before. That might have been a little bit nicer than ramming it into the last episode.
Yeah, and I think that's what maybe if there was a little more time spent discussing, like, oh, should I do this? Should I not do this? Yeah. When they like you said, they kind of rammed it in, and I'm glad they didn't use it to solve all the problems, but they did introduce a couple ideas. But at the same time, it kind of, it was another example of like, oh no, Tarina is going to be, you know, and yet if they do it that many times on the season finale, sometimes you start to expect something's going to sort of follow through in that end. And I didn't want Tarina to die. Like, I'm glad they didn't kill her. It's just like, I don't know. It was, I guess it's one of those things where it's like so obvious she's not going to die, but at the same time, maybe she would be, and that would be annoying too. Yeah. You know, it's just kind of
exactly.
Like,
it's at this stage in entertainment, the writers do have to deal with that, which is like undermining expectations. Yeah. But then it's one of those. I know you will do that, so then we'll do that, and then we'll do this.
Right. Yeah. And so, you know, but they did it a lot. They did it like five different times.
Well, so what did you think about, talking about conclusions and repercussions, what did you think about where either Book ended up or Ndoye ended up in terms of the response? Tarka is gone. We don't have to worry about him at the moment. But what about Book and Ndoye? Two people who did things that could have negatively impacted the solution to the problem.
Doesn't seem to be any consequences whatsoever.
Right. So Okay. So Ndoye seems like no consequences.
Yeah,
so
none whatsoever.
Part of me thinks that was what happens on the hypersphere stays on the hypersphere. Like, yeah, but you know, they probably had to report to the,
they could have told, you know,
they probably
Stacey Abrams.
They could say what? J.J. Abrams?
No, Stacey Abrams. We'll get to that in a bit because there's a lot. It'll be fun to discuss.
So when they like the basically saying that, did it get reported to the president of Earth what Ndoye did?
I doubt it.
See, it might not have been.
I think they just decided to keep it secret.
And in that case, you could understand. And
The other thing to say,
because they liked her so.
But if not, you'd think there'd be some kind of repercussion.
Look, I think that there's confusion out there in the audience about this. Not confusion. I'm not trying to use that in a pejorative sense. I just honestly mean I think there's some confusion about this. Because they didn't spend much time actually explaining how we're supposed to interpret this. But neither Book nor Ndoye are citizens of the Federation, right? That's point number one. Ndoye is, in fact, she's there in a diplomatic capacity, so has a certain level of immunity. One would think that wouldn't count for sabotaging a ship, right? Ndoye, to me, is the one who actually has done something
did
more.
Didn't Earth join the Federation?
No, at the end of the episode.
Oh, but was that the end?
Yeah, they weren't in the episode.
Joined. I mean, you'd still think that the president would kind of be like, that was sketchy.
Well, okay, all I'm saying is, Book is not a member of the Federation, has no planet anymore. You could argue that Book and Tarka have every right. That's like saying, the U.S. and Britain and Australia plan to do this, and then somebody else decides they want to do something else to fight the aliens or whatever.
Well, I mean,
you could argue that they have every right to do that. Now, I'm not.
But there's plenty of instances where someone acts like all crazy and they don't belong to that system of government or that planet or whatever, and they take them.
I'm just talking purely in terms of jurisdiction, because people are talking about the punishment. Mm-hmm. And first of all, we are speaking about a fictional, fantastical world where they're going to do whatever the fuck they want.
Yeah, but it's still got to have some kind of rules.
We know and expect a future Federation to be lenient is not the right word, but empathetic in terms of their punishments. They're not executing.
But they could have taken Book and put him
in New Zealand.
Along with
Tom Paris.
Paris, yeah.
Who's still there.
Okay. Yeah, they could have done that.
The New Zealand prison is like the Nexus, where even if you leave, a piece of you stays there
that
for
sounds
eternity.
Like a bummer. I mean, New Zealand's cool, but being in prison there.
Yeah, being in a prison in New Zealand, not so cool. I'm certainly not defending the actions, and that's, I think, one of the problems I have with that plot line is I don't support Tarka and Book at any point during the season. I always think they're doing the wrong thing.
If you steal some serious isolinium, blow you up shit from some large organization of people, they're gonna react.
But
you know?
They bought it from a place that wasn't under the jurisdiction of the Federation. I'm just giving the legal
guidance
here.
Clive Owens, Jive, Dragon Wagon.
Okay, that's a solid point. But they still basically stole shit and fucked shit up.
Well, they didn't steal. They bought stuff that is illegal in the Federation, but they bought it outside of the Federation.
They stole Jet Reno.
Well, exactly. And it undermines
that was not
they
cool.
undermined it a little, and if they had played it up a little
that
more
was not cool.
If they had played up a little more, if Tarka or Book had and forgive me, they may have said something along these lines, but I don't recall it. If they had said something along the lines of we can do whatever the fuck we want. You know, you guys go with your plan. I mean, I guess that's fundamentally what they were saying, honestly. So I'll take that back. Just the thrust of their plot the whole time. Maybe they don't get as much trouble. I do like that Book's punishment is it does fit the crime in the sense that he's set to help the people resettle and reorganize their lives, people whose lives he potentially threatened with his actions.
And so that's why Ndoye seems like she got off without any sort of repercussions, and Book did seem like he got some serious community service, but yeah. You know, and it does make sense. It's just so different than maybe what we would expect to happen today, I guess.
That Which kinda, is good in a sense, because you'd like right. it to be a better
yeah.
system.
There would have
and
been
that's
at
what
least
you have
some
to,
jail time.
Yeah, I think that's part of like what you have to sort of write it away as some of it. It's just
think,
like an enlightened future.
I also think
that.
It's worth mentioning that probably a lot of us watch this whole season and are fully supportive of Burnham and Rilek's plan for communication because we're watching Star Trek and because we want a Star Trek solution.
You said Skrillex.
No, I said President Rilek.
Oh,
President Spoonie.
I did not say President Skrillex. So we are coming into that storyline biased towards their solution from the beginning. Right? Because that's what we want to see. That's what we expect to see in a good Star Trek story. We don't expect to see, it turns out, 10 seas, some like ravenous, horrible space Nazis that are just murdering and genociding space people Nazis. For fun. Right?
But both,
we don't expect that to be the case.
Both Reno and Books talk about it. Reno says they leave behind a toxic void. And that was at the beginning of the episode. At the end, Book told him they were leaving behind a toxic mess. So we know that DMA is toxic.
Yeah. Well, we do, yes, because they told us that.
Yeah, but two different people use that word, toxic.
Yeah, toxic Avenger.
I think he got it from Reno.
Yeah, I think he did too.
Yeah. But anyway, it's the storyline basically has a structural flaw in that very few people, my guess is, I could be wrong, write us in at feedback@itsgotstartrek.com if we're incorrect on this. My impression is that most people are not going with Book's plan to be like, oh, let's just keep blowing shit up no matter what, because that'll solve the problem. I think a lot of people watching the show are like, actually, no, this whole like talking to the aliens and asking them to stop things seems pretty reasonable. Again, okay, maybe I'm a hippy dippy and I'm in the minority there. I don't know. Write us in and let us know.
It worked. It worked all right. It worked out in the end.
Well, okay.
Eventually.
Any odds and ends? One odd and end that I had is that I like that. You know how like we've gotten used to this idea of everyone insta beaming, like everyone insta beams everywhere, except for that one guy at the beginning of the episode who had to run up to Admiral Vance. He all like runs up to him. He's like, Admiral Vance, the Mitchells are, you know, he's giving him some report. And I was thinking, I was like, why didn't that guy just do the super beam, the insta beam? And then I thought maybe he was getting up to some weird shit on the holodeck, and he had his insta beam. Maybe he was doing some shady business,
maybe
insta beaming places.
Maybe running up to people is like a
privilege is revoked.
Why is the Mitchell so big? Because it's not joking.
Yeah, I'm not joking, Lee.
Yeah,
Gary Mitchell.
Hey. You guy. Maybe running up to people in the future is like all the rage among the kids because they can transport everywhere. So being out of breath is cool. It's like really cool to be out of breath all the time.
Yes, it's what happens if you smoke cigarettes.
So, yeah, which they don't in the future.
Don't smoke cigarettes.
Snake Leaf.
So, Gorev and Harald are good buds now. They're good buds. They're like Laurel real.
I like seeing them. We didn't talk enough about Tilly and Admiral Vance. It's a, you know, they're only a few short scenes, but it was pretty awesome to see them. I always loved seeing Tilly. I always loved seeing Admiral Vance.
It's okay to hide flasks while you're working on spaceships.
Well, if you're gonna die,
but they had flasks. Yeah. They had these. They didn't need. They should have.
We had two flasks. Yeah, two flasks. Because he said,
and
I
got them
this
from Targa.
He's like, I got this whiskey from Targa. There's Ryzen whiskey, but then he had like a separate. Like, it was Targa just giving out flasks left and right?
Yeah, right. You'd think that he'd have a bottle, like, you know, and they'd just drink from the bottle or something, like a big old.
That's
big
what
old,
Picard would have.
I think in the 32nd, right. He's a gentleman. In the future, in that far in the future, they should have Mary Poppins pockets in their uniforms.
Yeah, I agree.
Just have Mary Poppins show up.
Doctor Who's Tardy's pockets. Right,
that's
in the uniform.
That's a good idea.
Pull out a whole fucking hat rack. Right out that pocket.
Back tech.
But the Gorev and Harald, their roles were pretty much just to waste people's time, I think, because
no, it was charming to see some characters.
No, I didn't.
It was the Orion and the Telluride.
I did not mean to say that I thought it was bad. I liked it. I liked seeing them. I enjoyed seeing them. But that was funny that their kind of roles.
Dan never says this stuff when we watch Enterprise and it's all humans.
Yeah, because I'm totally humanist.
Well, we're all humans here, aren't we?
It's funny that humanist is supposed to be a good thing, but in the Star Trek context, it would be totally,
it could be bad,
totally racist.
So one of them was
Star Trek VI.
So one was asking
the Chancellor's daughter. Was it Harald asking
the Admiral saying,
How many people are going to die?
Basically? He took his time to ask the question too, and then the other one says, like,
"Hey, bro, how many people?"
Yeah, you approach
the
fucking admiral and you don't approach the admiral and ask questions like that, man.
Sorry to interrupt, bro, but
Gorev was all hanging around Tilly, being like, "I sure wish we could have done more." And Tilly's like, "Yeah, well, get the fuck out of here,
right?
No,
doing more is you being alive."
But they can warp, so they can transport on the spot. So
it's easy to abandon ship. You just beam over to the ship.
Yeah, exactly. So
as long as you have a ship to beam to.
Speaking of people dying, Tilly didn't come back to the episode to die, which is cool.
That's very cool.
That's cool.
Neither did Admiral Vance.
And Jet Reno.
But I wondered there for a minute.
Yeah. For a minute, but
a little bit.
But it still seems like that would be a weird way to. I mean, I guess I could see it. They like if
they're not gonna kill.
If she
Tilly.
If she wanted to
kill Tilly, that's like stomping on a fucking puppy's head.
You just get afraid. Man. You get afraid for a minute.
Well, nobody wants to watch a movie, even if artistically it makes sense. Nobody's gonna be like, "Hey, look, they just stomped a dog to death."
I wouldn't think they would do it for purposes of plot and story. I would just say maybe because she wanted to leave the show, and they're like, "Okay, you can leave the show, but can you just do this last episode to say goodbye or something?" That's the only way I could see something like that happening. Jet Reno, I didn't actually think she was going to die. Well, I wasn't sure because the last episode, they ended it with Jet Reno going like, you know, you got to save the universe. Do whatever's possible, including blowing us to smithereens, right? And like, you remember she said that last week.
That's a word-for-word quote of what she said.
And at the time, I was like, is that supposed to be some kind of foreshadowing? Because it's kind of, you know, it's not. I think that's a little too explicit to be foreshadowing.
Yeah. But I don't think they kill Reno either.
Yeah, so I didn't think they...
I don't think they kill Stamets.
I wasn't expecting
I don't
them to
think
kill
Culber.
I didn't think they'd kill Reno.
And you can't kill Reno. Keeps popping
back. They don't kill Burnham.
But there was one brief split second where I thought about the idea. It's like, oh, no, are they going to kill Reno? And then I was like, no, they're not going to kill Reno. And then that was like last episode, because that would be fucked up if they just
Discovery, I think, hopefully has learned or the producers have learned is like, yeah, of course, occasionally a character having an issue, character dying can provide some dramatic impetus. But on the other hand, people want to watch their characters live and grow. And but, I know the plot armor, then it's like, okay, it constrains your storytelling a little
bit. That's why you don't try to spread it among all these different people. It's like, do you have five different people that potentially are going to die, but none of them are going to die? You focus on one story where you know the person's not going to die, but it doesn't matter because it's all about
how
it happens.
We've always... I was about to say Star Trek, but it's true of all drama. All good drama is able to make it dramatic without necessarily having the sincere even, threat that even, somebody's going to die.
Even comic books, when Superman died way back in the 90s or whatever, everyone knew that was
such a big deal.
Everyone knew Superman was going to die. Before anyone read it, before it came out, they were like, oh, Superman's going to die. Everyone knew. They already knew what was going to happen, but everyone still read it anyways because it's the question, Neo.
Yeah,
it's the journey from the eagle to
Mount Humidor,
and
Mustard Anderson. Oh, okay.
Stamets,
you made it gross.
Oh, Stamets's role in these past few episodes, he's just been kind of like, he hasn't been as present. He's just been kind of emotive.
He didn't know that Reno was missing last episode.
Yeah, that was just fucked up. His role has just been basically like a motivator to sort of move the episode along. Present, you know, dramatic shit like, well, we've got a way to get the shit off is we blow up the spore drive. But then he offers the drama. He's like, but on the other hand, if you blow up the spore drive, we won't be able to get back. So Stamets has been kind of moving the plot along in that respect. But
yeah, standard engineer style stuff.
I feel like we heard more of him near the first half of the season.
We've got a coolant leak.
But I like that he's still present, even though they make it a point to keep him present, even if he doesn't have a big role.
I'm happy that he and Cobra will get a nice vacation. I loved everything about the ending of this
Adira, they were looking like really excited at the very end when Tilly and Burnham hugged. That's the most excited Adira's ever been.
They were so happy, and also Tilly showing how happy she was that Adira was getting along and making new friends and all that. It was sweet. And like I said, the Culber Stamets stuff was sweet.
Stamets is boy genius that Reno refers to. Boy genius, that's Stamets.
Bobcat.
Or
she calls him Bobcat.
She calls him Bobcat. I think boy genius, she was referring to Tarka.
Oh, okay.
In this case. It was a little confusing. Okay. She gives nicknames to everybody.
Both Book and Saru give
She's
a message.
Got such an attitude.
Both Book and Saru give a message about like hiding behind walls, and you know, Saru to Tarina when he's talking about, you know, I used to think that hiding was protecting me, but really just makes life dull. And then Book was all, you know, given that super species, super bonosaurs, the what for?
Super bonosaurs.
Yeah, that all worked out well. Super BGA. We gotta close up.
Yeah, we gotta go. I think we were done.
But
end with this quote. Book says. Podcast Cleveland is over, Booker Dan. Says, "Love always ends in grief."
Who said that? Book said that?
Book said that. It's true. It's kind of dark, but it's true.
Not necessarily. Not if you die first.
Well, there is grief. Maybe not for you, but somebody's for
good
for
point.
Someone.
I was being self-centered. Thank you for correcting my perspective. We can't close out before mentioning the guest cameo of Stacey Abrams, which has sent the internet into a tizzy.
Yeah.
Because the Republicans are all enraged. Ted Cruz tweeted, he was like, what the hell is this? Because there was a picture of Stacey Abrams in Star Trek.
He's going to finally stop watching Star Trek.
Lots of white men are enraged. I saw so many comments on Reddit that were like, I'm as liberal as they get, but this is ridiculous.
Why?
Because they're assholes. I don't know. I don't want to be a complete dickhead about it. But the problem is most people either found it great. Most people I read, I didn't take in a scientific poll or anything. Some people might have thought it was a little silly or whatever. But I just enjoyed it as another in a fucking long history of brief cameo roles with famous Star Trek fans. Stacey Abrams.
The way they set it up, it had to have been a cameo. Opened the door is like, who's this going to be? Someone? Yeah. Is it going to be a crazy person? Is it going to be a calm
and
person?
Stacey Abrams, not only has Stacey Abrams repeatedly talked about how a huge fan of Star Trek she is. In fact, she talked about that at length on the official Star Trek podcast with Tawny Newsom and Paul F. Tompkins. And it's a great episode of that podcast. She talks about being a young girl and getting to watch, either TNG or Deep Space Nine. I think Deep Space Nine was her favorite, and it was one of the few shows her parents would let her watch and that sort of thing. She's a dyed-in-the-wool fan. She's talked about it not just in terms of being a fan of the show, but how it's actually shaped her worldview to watch Star Trek, right? So she's a diehard fan, and guess what? Other fans have been on Star Trek throughout the years. Stephen Hawking, Christian Slater, Kelsey Grammer, who's no fucking liberal whatever, Seth MacFarlane, Jason Alexander, Mick Fleetwood from fucking Fleetwood Mac played one of those weird fish creatures, Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine, that guy from the LA Lakers at James Worthy, he's a Hall of Famer, King Abdullah Ibn Al-Hussein, reign of Jordan. He at the time That's he was the right. Crown Prince. He was on there. He was on Voyager. Whoopi fucking Goldberg got a job on Star Trek because she fucking loves Star Trek and she was a fan. Now, she's an actress. Not all of these folks are actors, and so they got little cameo roles. She got a bigger role. But that's my opinion. Is like
they need to get that Ocasio Cortez.
Get famous people on. You know who else is a big fan of Star Trek? Eddie Murphy. He was supposed to be in Star Trek 4, but then couldn't be, I think, because of the Golden Child or something, some complication. Tom Hanks, Mila Kunis, Daniel Craig has apparently been trying to get into Star Trek in some fashion or another for many years because he loves Star Trek. Rosario Dawson is trying to get into Star Trek. So, yeah, famous
Doesn't
people
she do Star Wars?
Love Star Trek, and they want to get roles on it, and I'm encouraging that. I do understand where people are coming from, but I don't know. I just thought the reaction was both expected, and when I saw Stacey Abrams, I was like, this is hilarious because so many fucking people are going to be so angry at this.
But I didn't think those people were watching Discovery anyway.
No, but they do. They watch too.
They still watch.
Yeah, and then they get on Reddit and they talk about how stupid it is and how women are in charge or something. I don't know. It's a bunch of... I'm a feminist and I'm not a racist. I just don't understand why is this black woman such a Mary Sue? They always misuse that term. They totally don't even understand what that term means in a literary sense. But we've discussed that at length
in previous
podcasts. So
we're very literary.
Yes. Anyway, so I just wanted to make sure we mentioned that because people are talking about that. Your mileage may vary about that particular cameo. I thought it was great because you know what? You know what people who live outside the United States thought? They just thought it was the president of the Federation. They didn't think everyone was like, "What are you talking about? Who is Stacey Abrams?"
She's a believable Earth president.
Yeah, she's just a nice Earth president. And by the way, it was fantastic from my perspective to see three or four or five all the people who were in power in that final, basically the final scene. You know, President Relak, Michael Burnham, the president of the Federation, General Ndoye. They're all strong fucking women, and it's not like shoved in your face that you're women. Just happens to be the case.
Just how it works.
That's cool. That's great. That's what Star Trek is for. Representation. Right?
Well, we said before how Discovery doesn't have any like straight white cisgender men.
When they do, they don't stick around long.
They don't stay. There's Kovich.
Like Loka. Yeah, Kovich. We don't know his deal.
Yeah, we actually.
Yeah,
don't
he just
sexuality. He likes holograms. If you ask me, I'm pretty sure he's into holograms.
Kovich's character is holosexual. His character is kind of funny in that when he leaves and I don't get loose ends tied with him, I'm not upset. I'm like, oh, that's just Kovich.
Oh yeah, because he was all talking about
just disappearing. Just disappears.
Remember,
it's a mystery. We'll figure it out.
Because he was talking about, he was like, I'm doing some more important shit than this DNA business.
Exactly. Yeah.
What the fuck? We were going to figure out what that was.
And we never heard... I thought we were going to hear back from Bryce at least.
Well, they mentioned Bryce at the end because when Detmer and then they're leaving, they're all like, Bryce said he'd meet us there.
Did you notice they mentioned the Nog and the Yelchin back-to-back?
Yes, the Yelchin.
Yeah.
And the Nog and the Yelchin.
Yeah, the Yelchin honoring Anton Yelchin, who played Chekhov and was sadly died by his own car.
Yeah, that was fucked up.
Freak, horrific, tragic accident, which makes me scared of my vehicle ever since I heard that story. Yeah. And the last odd and end that I have is, I don't know if you noticed, like at the end when they're doing the whole pullout from Earth and they're playing what I referred to as the Lion King version of the Discovery theme. Go listen to it. Go listen to that last bit. It straight up is Lion King style. With the Discovery melody.
I don't remember the actual melody, but now I know what feeling you're talking about. Cause when it was doing that, I felt something.
You're all
like
yeah,
right. I couldn't,
the fucking circle of life, brother.
I couldn't tell what all the, there was the main HQ and there was all these little dots.
HQ?
HQ. There was the HQ. We're done with this bit for now, please. We're trying to wrap it up.
It's not a bit. It's not a bit.
So, HQ.
I said H to British.
HQ.
Inverted my lungs.
HQ, there were all these, this in a grid pattern, there was all these dots. And I assume they were some kind of future ships.
I think there's an escape pod type thing.
They looked all weird, though.
I think they were like shuttles.
I think that's programmable matter.
But they were just shuttles.
They looked two-dimensional. It was weird.
Yeah, there was that sort of a two-dimensional screen that was horizontally.
I think those were shuttles
spread out.
I think they were shuttles. Yeah,
I think it was some part of the docking system.
I think it was a bunch of shuttles.
And I'll dock you.
All right, that'll do it. That'll do it for us. So write in at feedback@discussstartrek.com. Let us know if they were shuttles or a screen.
Or you can shut the fuck up.
That does it for Discovery, I suppose.
That's it for Discovery season 4. Tune in at some point in the future. And no doubt we'll discuss Discovery Season 5 if we're still around, kicking and breathing and doing Star Trek stuff at that time. In the meantime, of course...
In the meantime!
This week, we have also we're also releasing an episode discussing Picard, Season 2, Episode 3, Assimilation. So that'll come up. That'll be the next one in the
and
feed.
If you listen to
it'll
that,
be Episode
if you,
123.
If you Assimilation listen, Nation. If you listen to that one tomorrow, which is Sunday, then it means you don't have to listen to this one today, which is
Saturday.
I don't
know why you keep... I don't understand the logic. I honestly don't understand the logic.
It's funny to tell people that they can't listen to something they've already listened to.
Oh, I get it. But the thing is, you've also been doing
it at
the beginning,
right?
The beginning
yeah,
of
you're
the
right.
Episodes,
you're
dude.
Right.
So a bunch of people are going to be flipping the off switch on their,
no!
on their podcast machines.
Their podcast machines.
Yeah. You know, they're going to have one of those physical, like those, like, it's like a black switch that sticks out. And it's got the curved bit and it's like thunk. You know, like on the old CPUs,
yeah,
like a 286.
Exactly. Right.
Like on this, although that would be all
I
the
don't
orange.
Know.
Like
I don't know how this relates to podcasts, but.
I don't know. It's just
it starts the
evocative,
podcast.
Evocative
are you talking? Are you talking about making a dedicated gadget to do one thing that phones can do?
I wasn't, but I am now.
Okay,
all right.
So Spotify did something like that. Would they have some thing that came out that's supposed to?
Did they really?
That's supposed to play Spotify. It's like a device you put in your car. You attach your car and plug.
Sounds like
in.
Some sort of alchemy business.
Well, it sounds
get the special rock and put spell. It on your shelf.
Yeah, it's basically sounds to me like your cell phone with limited functionality. But I mean, I guess I can understand why you'd want something dedicated. But at the same time, it's like, just use your phone. It's just $90 for.
But if
for
you get
a device
phone
that your
call,
phone can do,
or if there's an alert, and then it messes
right.
up
your right.
tunes.
You're right. So is that really worth that kind of money? Is it?
I mean, can't you put like do not disturb? Anyway, we're not going to worry about it.
Then you have to turn your do not disturb off.
We're not going
to
worry about
it. I wonder if it gets cell. You have to connect it to your phone for cell data anyway.
Well, you can do geo
smell data.
Geo
locking.
You can smell my cell data.
The geo arcade. Welcome to the geo arcade.
All right.
Tuesday.
So in spite of all this stuff you've heard over the last couple of minutes, please recommend us to your friends and family, people at work.
What are you worried about?
Subscribe and hit subscribe and smash subscribe and the review.
Smash it.
Click the review buttons and
Apple
click all the
Podcasts.
Stars. Yeah, go to the Apple Podcasts. Go to the Google Podcast.
Give us a review on Apple Podcasts.
Overcast, the Podcast Addict.
Go to Apple Podcast and give us a review.
Spotfire.
Spotfire. Spotfire.
Just go to all those things. Click all the stars and the buttons and send us cash money. You can write us at feedback@scottstartrek.com. We'll send you our Venmo emails and then you can just Venmo us cash.
Alphabet Spotfire.
We don't really
incoming.
Need it. We're all doing all right, but if you want to send us some cash, go for it. Just write us in and
paper
we'll ask
xylophone.
Alphabet Spotfire incoming. Yeah. Imminent.
Yes. All right.
So termination. Yeah, Apple right. fart smosh fire.
Let's go talk about Star Trek Picard now.
Okay.
All right. We'll talk to you next
Star Trek vibraphone.
Next episode. Bye-bye.
The upside is when we hit the hyperfield, we'll be vaporized immediately.
Where's the upside in that?
We'll die fast. I hate pain.